Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Virtual Tone Studios in Houston, Texas, it's time for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. And now, here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Hi, everyone. It's Friday afternoon. It's 3 o'clock here in Houston, Texas. Weather is, well, breezy, but in the 80s, as usual, this time of year. Anyway, we got a great show lined up for today with a lady by the name of Susanna Barlow out of Utah and another lady by the name of Nadia Day. And I believe she is out of Georgia. I have to look at the sheet, but she's the second half of our show. Before we get to Susanna, I wanted to mention that today was the first show this morning, 9 a.m. Central Time, of a show by the name of Tony Harris Speaks Success. And it's one of the newest shows out under the Tough Talk label, and we were really happy with the turnout. So if you want to listen to that, you can catch it on Facebook. Incredible interview with a local business owner here in Houston. Anyway, I'd like to get to my guest. And see, Susanna, can you hear me?
I can.
Well, Susanna, first of all, thank you for taking time out to be with us today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Now, I'm reading along here, and I got to tell you, you got a pretty amazing story. I try to find out where people are from and, you know, what brought them to this point of their life. And your story caught me, you know, because I try to get a little bit of background on them. And I'm reading in your bio that, well, of course, you're from Utah. We'll get to that in a second. But you're 23rd of 46 children in a family. And, wow, it puts a whole new meaning to sitting down at dinner.
Yes, it does.
So, Susanna, are you from Utah originally?
Yes.
Okay, and I believe you live in a town I've never heard before, outside of Salt Lake, is that?
Yeah, that's right. It's a little town called Bluffdale.
Bluffdale. Okay, I'm not familiar with that, but I've only been through Utah on a bus going from the East Coast to the West Coast, so you can't hold that against me. Anyway, I'd like to dig into your story because, I mean, I've been interested. I've never ran across this type of interview, and I'm really curious to a lot of things. So if I could, just let you get to tell your story a little bit, kind of like back a little ways and then up to the point to where you decided to write a book so we can kind of set that stage.
Okay. Well, I was born and raised in a secretive polygamous home. And it was a very religiously motivated situation. And included in this environment was physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. Now, I won't say that it's a direct result of the practice of polygamy, because I think abusers are individuals, and that was certainly the case in my family. But I do believe that the secretive nature of the polygamous culture supported and made the abuse possible in many ways. So
well,
I grew up and got married within the culture. So I married a man who was also raised in a polygamous home the way that I was. And we had a child, and around the time that our child was 5 or 6 months old, then he wanted to leave. And he made the decision to cut himself off from the religious aspect of our upbringing, and we just started this really slow process of breaking away and deconditioning ourselves. And it was after that, and some years after that actually, that I realized that the trauma of the abuse hadn't left me. It didn't go anywhere. And I just was haunted by it with just severe bouts of depression and overwhelmed with insecurities, all sorts of maladies as a result of the abuse and the trauma, the childhood trauma. And so I finally sat down and began to write, not really as therapy, but I discovered how therapeutic it was and how necessary it was to tell the truth, and that that was something that had never happened in my life. I had to keep my childhood a secret. I had to keep my identity a secret, and I had to protect my parents because they were basically committing a crime, although they believed fervently that in God's eyes it was no crime whatsoever. But all the secretive environment created a disconnect between what's true and what's not true. And writing the book helped me get grounded and centered in myself and discover what was true, what's true for me, and what really happened, and I needed to talk about it openly and not hide it anymore.
Well, I can't even imagine living in that type of life. You know, most people complain about, you know, I have children of my own. They always complain about this, that, and the other thing. I can't even wrap my arms around the idea of this whole process. And I'm sure as you were growing up, it was just kind of normal. But,
oh, sure.
Was this a... I mean, to me, you'll have to correct me because I'm not very versed on this. Only what I've seen on a television movie, I guess you would say. You know, I can't really understand it. But I mean, if you have 46 brothers and sisters,
right?
Now I'm sure that's like so you're not all living in the same house, but you're living in the same area.
We're actually living in the same house.
Wow. Okay.
Now, because that's a lot of children, there was a generation gap. So all 46 of us, you know, there were kids that had grown up and moved out by the time the youngest child was born. But there were often periods in which there were 30 or more people living in the home at one time. So.
Now, is this with different mothers and one father?
Right.
Wow. Wow. Okay, and this is a religion that
right.
people believe in. Okay, so in their eyes, like you said, your parents were doing something that they believed was okay.
Well, it was necessary is how it's viewed. It's necessary for them to practice this law as they see it.
And when you say necessary, for the beliefs that they have in God to work for them.
Right, and for them mm-hmm. to achieve their own personal salvation in
right.
the hereafter. That's required for them to practice polygamy on earth.
And that's the name of the religion?
Well, the religion was originally it's referred to today as a Mormon fundamentalism
mm-hmm.
because it has its roots in the LDS religion, the LDS church. But it broke away, you know, over 100 years ago and kind of became its own movement.
Now, do you still practice the same religion?
No.
Good.
No, I left that religion about 17 years ago.
Wow. Wow. So, I would imagine that... You know, you have to tell your story, and I've met a lot of people that said that they started writing because they just wanted to get it out and tell somebody, but they didn't want to tell anybody, so it was easier to write it.
Right.
And then, you know, and so and as you were writing, did you find some sort of relief with confusion?
Well, I think I did feel some relief at having put on paper those feelings that seem indescribable at the time, and to write about events in your life that you've held so secret inside of you. So that was a relief, but it was also frightening at the same time because now it was on paper. Now
right.
I could be found out. I could be exposed myself. And so it was an uncomfortable process. It was only once the book was finished and I had dealt with the aftermath of having published it and had to confront my family and my parents and the people that had abused me and everything. It all had to just come out. And as painful as that was, it was also extremely liberating.
So, this is fascinating. You're out of that religion for 17 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Your husband, I just want to make sure I stay up with this, because your husband was the one that said, hey, this is it, we're done.
Right.
And you guys moved on. And I would imagine that it takes the man to make that decision in that environment, just because of, I don't know, having so many different wives, that would make more like the man would be the one that made the decisions.
That's true, and it was patriarchal in nature, and so it was typical for the man to make a decision for the whole family. And if a woman wanted to leave, she usually had to divorce her husband if he didn't agree with her, and that isn't going to happen in too many cases.
Right, because it's, So now, when this takes place, I mean, and Susanna, if I get out of line with my questions, please just tell me, and I will apologize. But did you guys have to, like, sneak out? I mean, can you just walk in and say, hey, you know, we've had we put in our change of address and we're moving on? I mean, how does that work?
Well, it's different than the way that it's portrayed on TV. At least it was for me. I'm sure there are some people who experience what you're describing, but there was no compound and there was no security around it. It was just a community of people who all believed the same way and participated in church activities. And so when we left, we just stopped attending, and everybody was aware that we no longer believed the same way. We were breaking away from the faith. And so they stopped inviting us to functions, and there was this strained discomfort between everybody. It's all family and relatives and, you know, people you've grown up with. So
right.
It was really awkward. It was a breaking away from the tribe, so to speak. And there wasn't sneaking out or trying to escape, but rather just an acceptance that you are now different from the only life you've ever known. And
right.
That's more of a personal journey rather than a very dramatic.
Yeah, well, it might have been easier to escape.
Yes, in some ways it would have, to just get away from it and never look back.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot to have to go through. Boy, this is a really unbelievable story. Now you and your husband have 6 children.
Yes.
And of course, I don't want to leave out the dog, because you know I'm a dog lover too. And I thought that was kind of cool that you mentioned that. It just, you know, there's little things that I read into people's bios and websites and stuff like that that make them more human than others. And that one there did it for me. I thought that was just really cool. Anyway. Just a little note from me. What kind of dog is it?
It's a German Shepherd.
I have a white one who's kind of old, and he's wearing down, and he's got anxiety issues. And
but you love him anyway, don't you?
Yeah, I can't do nothing. Sometimes I feel bad because I don't do the, you know, go put him down, but I just can't do it. Anyway, how old are your children?
Well, my son is 17, and he's the oldest, and I have a 15-year-old daughter, a 13-year-old daughter, a 12-year-old daughter, a 10-year-old son, and a 6-year-old son.
God, you are busy.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, like, when you were involved before, as a child growing up as well, did you have, like, did you go to a regular school? I mean, was there just a certain school for everybody? Were you homeschooled?
Well, that was part of the issue, because we essentially grew up in hiding.
Mm.
We had to protect our identities, and therefore we had to be homeschooled. And many of us were either born and not ever issued a birth certificate, or if we did have a birth certificate, it was falsified.
Right.
And so a fake name would be you know, put on there and all of that, so that we were not traceable. So there was no paper trail saying that we existed, no social security numbers, nothing. And because of that, we had to keep a really low profile and not be seen by anybody. You know, we lived in the city, and so we had neighbors on all four sides of us. And it wasn't like we were out on some 50-acre ranch somewhere. It wasn't isolated at all. And so we had to be very quiet and careful and not attract too much attention. So we didn't have a typical upbringing. Our home had 8-foot fences, solid fences that surrounded everything, so that people couldn't see in and we couldn't see out, and it just was meant to seclude us from the outside world completely.
Wow. Wow, that puts a little bit of a strain on being socially, being able just to go out and socialize with other people and learn all the social skills. I mean, I can't tell by talking to you that if you were raised like that. I would think that would have an effect on you as an adult to be very inward and all that. I mean, you sound just as normal as I think I am.
Well, it did have an impact on me. I happen to be genetically a gregarious, outgoing person by nature, so I found the environment to be quite stifling and difficult to bear. And I was kind of a troublemaker because I would run out the front door and talk to people on the street, and my mother would have to chase me down and scold me and threaten me again, don't do that, and we're going to be sent to prison if you talk to people, that sort of thing. So I kind of had the fear pounded into me. And I did deal with a lot of social issues. It wasn't that I was socially introverted or backward, but that some of the ways that I interacted with people would be inappropriate or sometimes too forward or asking questions that made others uncomfortable. I hadn't learned to read their cues properly. So there were some consequences, just different for each person based on their own unique personality.
Yeah. I have to take a short break, Susanna, and I'm going to come back, and I want to find out. I have a whole list of questions. This is incredible. Before we go to break, I want everybody to just go to this, www.susannabarlow.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-N-A, Barlow, B-A-R-L-O-W.com. Check out the website while we're on break. And when we come back, and I've got some more questions for you. Great website. I want to get more on your book and stuff. So we'll be right back after this short break.
Since Comedy Sports began, we've answered thousands of calls for help.
This is Comedy Sports. How can I help you?
My meeting is falling apart. The attendees were happy earlier, but I didn't book any evening entertainment. Now they're all yawning over their chicken dinners.
Okay, ma'am. I'm going to call the Comedy Sports Touring Company.
This is Peter.
Peter, this is a comedy emergency. I'm going to give you the location of a hotel ballroom. They are in desperate need of entertainment.
Oh no, someone is about to call a DJ.
Okay, we'll get them laughing again with a clean, audience interactive show.
I'm going to stay with you until Comedy Sports arrives.
Why didn't I book an interactive comedy show to begin with? Oh, thank goodness, they're here. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Comedy Sports performs every week at their West Houston Theater. Comedy Sports is also available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to perform throughout the state of Texas at your corporate or private event. Visit ComedySportsHouston.com for details or call 713-868-1444 for availability.
Essential Effects Marketing and Promotions wants you. If you're a small business owner looking to harness the power of e-marketing and need an affordable solution designed to turn your marketing expenses into profit, then you need Essential Effects Marketing and Promotions. We have provided small and mid-sized businesses solutions to help them grow. And now we want to work for you. Essential Effects wants to be your expert in corporate branding. From website and logo design to corporate branding and training. We will offer a quick and easy solution designed to help you make money now. Call us today to receive your complimentary consultation. Don't let another day go by without doing something for your brand. Visit us on the web, www.e2mp.com. That's www.e2mp.com. give us a call at 713-965-7306.
Okay, welcome back to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone and our guest, Susanna Barlow from Utah. Incredible story here. I mean, I'm sitting here with my mouth open listening. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go to the website on the break there so you can kind of catch up with me what I'm going to be asking Susanna next. And it's SusannaBarlow.com. It's real easy to get to. It's a cool website. Susanna, I'm just at awe that that you did this. You came out and you wrote this book. Have you found that this book has helped others? Well, first of all, the people where you were living before in that area, have they seen the book? Has any of them read it and commented?
I've had a fair amount of my family read it, and even some people that are practicing polygamists that are a part of the culture who have read the book and endorse it and are very supportive of it, because my intention was not to slam the practice of polygamy, but to rather talk about some of the secrets and the abuse that goes on in many of these families. And I think it's a relief for people to have it out in the open. And they've expressed to me that it has supported them in being more open about some of the problems in their families and how they can address them.
Very good. So it has helped people there.
Yes.
And I'm sure that, like you said, it wasn't to write bad things about them. It's just to tell your story and what you know about it and help others that might feel the same way to deal with it differently. So that's very good. Now, it says that you speak across the country. What is the topic that you speak on?
Well, it ranges from parenting to, obviously, I talk about child abuse and sexual abuse, and as well as educating people about the practice of polygamy. And there's so much misinformation out there. And there are many people who leave the culture. I probably shouldn't say many, but there are some who leave the culture who are very bitter, understandably so, but very bitter. And so they bring a distorted viewpoint and present it to the media and to the world. And while it's understandable, it isn't really fair to the culture as a whole. And so I try to bring a more balanced perspective so that people can make an educated judgment about what's going on in the country today on the subject of polygamy.
And to your knowledge, because I'm sure that you have to have become an expert in a lot of different areas of this, does this activity happen a lot? I mean, is this more than people could ever even imagine?
Well, right now, there are literally tens of thousands of practicing polygamists in the Western United States and Canada.
Wow.
And they're all interconnected in some way. They can trace their roots back to an original group of people. And so they're just, branches of the same tree, so to speak.
Right.
And it's been perpetuated for 120 years. And so like any group or even a family, it just grows and has the potential to be, have exponential growth.
Wow. Now, let me ask you, what about, this is probably just my ignorance, but is like Utah the hub for this type of religion?
I would say yes, that because this is where the Mormons settled at the time that they were practicing polygamy. Hmm. And they settled in the Utah Territory. And when Utah was vying for statehood, the condition was get rid of polygamy and we'll make you eligible for statehood. And so they abandoned the practice of polygamy, and a group of people carried it on underground. Utah became a state, and that underground movement that preservation of that, what they consider a principle, has been perpetuated from that point forward. And that's why there are so many people practicing. And they do have their roots here for the most part.
Yeah. Well, let's... I'd like to get everybody the opportunity to find out how to get your book, where they can get your book, and because this is, you know, Suzanne, I'm just very impressed with you because you're not bitter. I mean, you are putting the word out there in the right content, so it makes it more I want to read the book more so because. You know, like I said, I've only seen what's on the movies and the news, and you know, and I'm not saying that I'm in agreement to anything about it, but to learn about it in a unopinionated way, I guess, or in a fair judgment of it, I think that's awesome. So, can you tell everyone where they could get your book?
Well, obviously, the best place is my website, which takes you to the Amazon website where you can get it in a Kindle version, paperback or hardcover. It's also available as an ebook as well, so you can just download it right onto your computer, and you know, you can get it on several online retailers. It's pretty easy to find online for sure.
Okay, and are you coming out with another book by chance?
I am. I'm about two-thirds of the way through with a manuscript. It's a follow-up memoir. I get into a lot more detail about the consequences of leaving a culture and how I overcame my own abusive past and recognizing the signposts of trauma. When you're raised in it from birth all the way up, sometimes you don't know what it is that you're experiencing and that it is abnormal. So I talk a lot about that and marriage, how the marriage system worked in my case. And there's a lot to tell.
Now, how about you've raised children of your own now outside of that area, and you know, have you? What was that transition like? I mean, is there a part of your book that explains that process, or is that book number three?
Well, no, I'm actually going to limit my life story to two books, hopefully. Pretty challenging writing about your own experiences, and it requires a level of vulnerability that really challenges. But I write about children, and for me, my kids were the reason to make those changes. They were the impetus that drove me to healing myself, because if I wasn't healed and I wasn't a whole person, how could I be the kind of mother that they needed, and how could I give them a better life than the one that I had if I wasn't fully functional, secure, confident woman? It wasn't even possible. So they were the inspiration and the drive for me to confront my own demons. And
yeah,
they taught me everything that I needed to know to do that.
Yeah, that's powerful, but if children don't change your life around, nothing will. I mean, there's just nothing stronger than the love that you have to do that for your children. It's incredible. It's even hard to explain. You know, we're running out of time, but one thing I wanted to ask you real quickly was, after breaking away from that, okay, are you involved in any type of religion now?
No, I'm not. I do consider myself a spiritual person, and I do have a belief in God, whatever that looks like. I'm not so certain about things anymore, but I take my spirituality very seriously, so it's something very important, but it's very personal. I don't necessarily pass it on to my children as something that they need to embrace, but rather that they find their own path and their own understanding of who they are at their essence.
Yeah, you know, because I think that without getting too religious, that, you know, eventually God finds you when you need to be found. And, I mean, and it just makes you who you have to be. But I think that's very good. It must be very difficult on a daily basis to try to make sure that you don't direct your children in a way that you were directed, just out of habit. Because I know myself as a grown up, I do things that I hated that my parents did, but I just did it because I didn't know any better. So I mean, that's a constant program that I try to make sure I don't do. And I have what most people would call, I guess, the American dream of life, you know, everything but the white fence. So, you know, I really respect what you're doing, and I think it's awesome. And I would really hope that when you get your second book out, that you would come back on the show and tell us some more about it. Unfortunately, the 30 minutes goes by really fast, and I really appreciate you being on the show today with us.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and I'll be happy to come back as soon as the manuscript is complete.
Okay, well, as everyone knows, we have a previous guest page, and you'll be able to go up there and find Susanna's name, her website, find her book. You can also just email me, tony@tonygambone.com, and I can connect you personally with her. Some incredible stuff. It's www.susannabarlow.com is her website. And we look forward to having you back on the show when you get that second book out. And really, best of luck to you. And I just can't wait to hear some more about this.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Well, we'll be right back, folks, with our next guest, a lady by the name of Nadia Day. And we'll just take a short break, and we'll be right back.
You can project a professional image regardless of your size, whether you're just starting or a small business. It's powerful to project a big company image to build credibility with your new prospects. Virtual Tone has a package to give you that confident presence you need. You can have a big company image over the phone and on the internet with one package. Everything you need now and in the months and years to come. Virtual Tone includes a robust, expandable package of business tools and features that will help your business grow. Your package is full of powerful business tools, which include phone system with phone line that's ready to expand when you are, web hosting, including blog up to 25 websites, email system with filters and security, popular contact management system, absolutely the only communication system your business will ever need, guaranteed. Virtual Tone Entrepreneur Packages, starting for only $99.97 monthly.
If you're in the top 25% of the fastest times,
wow, what a great speaker. Where did you find him?
You know, I used to have trouble finding speakers. Then someone told me about SpeakerCoop.com.
SpeakerCoop.com? What's that?
It's a website full of speakers who speak to groups like ours.
How did you decide which speaker to choose?
The website lets you search for speaker by topic.
I've got to find the speaker for our luncheon next month. This will make it easy. I'm going to go to SpeakerCoop.com.
Okay, welcome back to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. We just got done a great interview, some amazing stuff, by an author by the name of Susanna Barlow, who wrote a book where peace there may be, what peace there may be about being, Anyway, go to her website, www.susannabarlow.com. It's a great story about a lady that was raised in the polygamy environment. She is number 23rd out of 46 children in her family. Incredible stuff. Anyway, it's very cool. It's the kind of stuff you see on Oprah, and I think I might have just hit a big star on the show there. Anyway, let's stop patting me on the back, and let's bring on our next guest, if I can get this to work. There we go. Nadia Day. Nadia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you today, Nadia?
Oh, I'm doing excellent. How about yourself?
Just great. I just, you know, I had this interview with this lady that wrote this book, and it just blows me away because the only time I've ever seen anything like that was like on the movies or like Oprah or something, you know. So
Right. Yeah.
It blows me away how what people... You know, we complain about stuff on a daily basis, like we got it really bad, and then you hear something like that, you're like, ooh, that's a tough way to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
But very impressive that she got herself out there in a positive way and teaching other people, and she's not angry about it. I have a lot of respect for her. I can't wait to her second book comes out and get her back on the show. Anyway, Miss Nadia, I believe that you are in the Atlanta area. Is that right?
I am in Atlanta, actually.
Okay. Now, is that where you're from originally?
I'm from Chicago originally.
Chicago. How'd you make it to Atlanta?
Well, so I grew up in Chicago. I went to the University of New Orleans for undergrad. And after that, I went back to Chicago for law school. And when I went back to Chicago, it was like, oh, my God, it's so cold up here. And I was like, I need to go back south somewhere. So I moved to Atlanta in 97. Because, you know, that was the time when Atlanta was, you know, up and coming. And, you know, everybody was moving there and supposed to be the next big thing. So I'm like, well, let me get in on that. So that's how I got down here.
No, I mean, you gave up the Chicago beef sandwich, snap dogs. You went to New Orleans and learned how to eat some great food. And you went back to Chicago, got a beef sandwich. And now, I mean, what's Atlanta known for? Food-wise.
Nothing.
Right. you know, I mean, they got a good baseball team, I guess. I don't know, but geez. My mind always goes to food. There's nothing better than an Italian beef sandwich from Chicago. You know, I can't stop eating when I go to New Orleans. But I've never had anybody tell me that there's some, you know, because I'm from Philadelphia, so, you know, you got a cheesesteak.
Oh, a cheesesteak.
But Atlanta, like, what is, like, if you go out to a restaurant, what would be something that people go, oh, I can't wait to go there for that?
Yeah.
Nothing. That's
maybe
funny.
Soul food, but I don't know.
Not
I
good
soul food,
anyway. Yeah. well, hey, you know, there's probably something there that keeps you there.
Yeah. It's a cool city. I mean, I like it. It's really diverse, and you meet people from a lot of different places. So it's kind of like being away at school.
Is your family all back in Chicago?
My parents and my brothers are in Chicago. My sisters are here in Atlanta.
Oh, really? So that's cool. They came there with you, or you followed them?
I came first, and then my younger sister came after me, and then my older sister came last.
So you're the trailblazer.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Well, that's good. That's good. So you have family there. And how often do you get back to Chicago?
Not that often. I have been going the last couple of years. A friend of mine had a baby, so I've been trying to, you know, get acquainted with the baby. But it's so funny. It's like now when I go back to Chicago, it's just different from here. And I often feel like, wow, I don't live here anymore.
It's a cool city,
but, you know, it's
different. I grew up in Philadelphia. I lived in Las Vegas for 18 years, and now I've been in Houston for 12, 13 years. And there's just no way. I was in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia in January. It's so cold. I'm thinking, okay, I went into this hotel and I came out 3 hours later. There was 5 inches of snow on the ground. I was like, this is like, I don't like this. So I understand what you're saying. It's nice to call a different warm climate your home.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's find out some more about Nadia. You went to school in New Orleans. What did you graduate for? With? Or you know, what
a
was
BA
your degree?
English.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've always been. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. You've always been.
Oh, just in love with words.
So what made you decide? I mean, I know you just told us that you landed in Atlanta area. What made you become a spiritual life coach?
Oh, you know, it's always been on my heart for a long time to do spirit work, a work that would connect directly with people in their heart. So I come from a legal background. I mean, I am a licensed attorney here. And, you know, when I was growing up, education was stressed a lot. You know, go to school, get some degrees, become a professional, make your money, live happily ever after. You know, but during that time, you know, when I was practicing, it was like, this is not speaking to me. It's not it's not feeding my soul. It's, you know, this is really no way to live for me. And so when I was thinking about making a switch, it was always that old, the old beast of fear and self-doubt and, you know, what do I know about, you know, coaching folks or doing spirit work. But, you know, it's funny how things just constantly come back, you know, things that you're really interested in. And so I actually had, I guess I've had periods of clarity in my life where I have awakened and really things have really made sense. But I had maybe last summer, like the, what I call like the final awakening that really kind of transformed my life on all different levels. So it like erased all the fear and the doubts and insecurities that I had about what my purpose is here on earth and what I'm going to be doing with my life. So it was really at that time that I decided that, yeah, I need to be doing this kind of work.
Okay, now you got my now you got my curiosity up, okay? So bear with me here. Was this an email? Was this a God thing? Like, how did you come across this one day? You just fell out of bed and said, oh, my God, I can't believe it?
I guess it was, I think what y'all did this time was I was reading a book called Tales from the Time Loop by David, I think it's Icke. And in that book, he kind of talks about his spiritual journey and different things of that nature. So he kind of goes a lot of different places. But the thing that really, like, hit me and affected me at that time was that we really choose what we want to experience in life by what we believe, by the thoughts that we have, and that what we believe becomes real. And so it's like, I guess I had already lived like the idea that if you think positively, positive things will happen. But it just struck me this time that, wow, that's literally true, you know. And so all the things that have been like the struggles that I have been having in my life really fell away, because really the struggle was in my mind.
Right.
And so it was just that awareness that once you free your mind from suffering or thoughts that limit you on who you think you are, what you can achieve, then, you know, that's really the key.
Now, you know, there's so many books written. And I so agree with what you just said. But and you can read books all day long, but it just comes to a point, like, I mean, how many times can you tell you're the best you ever met, and, you know, you love yourself, and, you know, you're thankful for all the money that comes your way. And, I mean, you can go on and on and on with all the different things that these books tell you to do, but there's this one person that comes along in a sentence somewhere, and that's why I, you know, asked if it was like a God thing, because, like, just sometimes it's like somebody just taps on your head and says, now, listen to this one. And you're like, oh, I get it. And I've known it all along, but, like, yeah, you just kind of unlocked it, and then it's, see, for me, I've done that, and then I have to, you have to wonder, okay, well, what are the people around me going to think? Are they going to think I lost my mind? You know, how do you explain it to them? Because sometimes your surroundings keep you from believing who you really could be or doubting who you really are.
Exactly.
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, how do you get by, was that a part of your equation?
Yes. Because, again, freedom is really being who you are without regard to what people think of you. And it is hard in this society because it is about falling in line. It is about conforming to the prevailing wisdom. But when you realize that, for me, it was kind of a, it was almost, when I say spiritual, it was in the sense that, and I think most people believe that we have a soul, that we have a spirit that lives on for eternity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, really internalizing that and knowing that I am an eternal spirit, so I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you do to me, because I'm always going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what really frees, is to me, freedom, when you know who you are and you don't care what other people say. But they're still going to respond to you because you are being who you truly are, connected to that spirit, that God, or of your understanding, or whatever you would like to call it.
Right. I think they'll respond to you even more, you know,
yeah,
because of that. And I met a lady one day that spoke at a place, and she put it a pretty good way. It's like she said, it's none of my business what you think of me. You know, and I thought, wow, that's a really awesome way to say it, because
yeah. When
it comes down to it, if you don't believe that, then you're living your life for the people around you, which puts a fence up for you to go forward, and then it's just like, I don't know. Do you think that moving away from your family helped you to get into that situation quicker?
No. I had always been sort of an independent thinker. Even when I was younger, my parents are Muslim, and so I kind of grew up outside of the mainstream, I guess, anyway. But I guess from an early age, I've always questioned things and really didn't feel, I guess when I was growing up, everybody wants to fit in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, because we couldn't eat pork or we couldn't wear this or do that. And so it was hard as a child. But as I got older, it really, I liked being different. I liked being me, you know. And so, you know, my parents, although that was their religion, they didn't really, they've always had a position, find your own way. Do what makes you happy. So I didn't have a lot of pressure to, you know, stay with that religion or believe exactly what they believed as I got older.
That's, I think that in today's economy, in today's world, you know, there's a lot of people that are losing their job after 20 or 30 years. There's people that have to reinvent themselves from what they thought they were supposed to be. You know, study, be the top of your class, do this, go to school. If you don't go to school, you can't make money. If you don't make money, you can't be this. This is all drummed into you. And I think today, more than any other time in the world, well, maybe it's just me, but I think that people are realizing that it's really important to step out of that comfort zone, find out who you really are. I mean, that's why we have a need for people like yourself that coach people or help people to improve themselves, you know, and be, because I think we were all created to be incredible. You know, great. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's just that, I don't know, there's a movie that's coming out, something about, you know, where a guy has this one, you know, we only use 2% of our brain or something,
mm-hmm.
and, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it probably is, because most of us are stuck on stupid, and we just can't help but to do what we've been doing all our lives, you know, and we don't know any better. I mean, I don't know if you know the story about the lady with the ham that used to cut the ends of the ham off, you know, it's like her neighbor came over for Easter dinner, and she said, oh, that looks like a great ham. Why do you cut the ends off? And she said, well, you know, that's what my mother used to do. You go, that's odd. Like, well, why did she do that? She said, I don't know. Let's go ask her. So they go in the other room and ask her. She said, well, that's what Granny did. So they went and asked Granny in the living room. She said, well, honey, back then we didn't have a pot big enough for the ham, so we cut the ends off. So all their lives they were doing the same thing without questioning it, just because that's just what it was, you know. And today's society, as crazy as the world is today, we're made to stop doing that and readjust, because we're out of, you know, you don't have that 40-year, you know, 30-year job at the factory or at a corporate office where, you know, you get the 401. There's just all kinds of things taking place. So people are more apt to have to go out and find the what they were really created to do in their lives.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that it's awesome that people like yourself, 'cause you said you're a lawyer, right?
I am, yeah.
And you could probably make enough money as a lawyer just going in there and doing your thing, hanging up your coat at the end of the day and saying, you know, I'm done, I made my money, I've got good money, I've got a nice house, blah, 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 blah. But there's more to it than that.
And
what you're doing, money can't describe the feeling.
Right. And I think that is a problem that we have here in America, is that we've been sold this dream, that the dream is to get stuff, you know, get a big house, get that car, get, you know, have money. And you know, so it's, to me, it's a false dream, because then, and they set the whole system up on that, you know, to say that if you don't have money, then you're unworthy, you know.
Right.
This makes you a better person if you have money. And the danger with that is that when people put their faith in things in the material world, they're going to be let down when these things pass. Or if they lose their house, who are they?
Right.
If they no longer have any money, who are you? You know? So it's like beyond that, who are you?
Hey, I call it life-threatening situations. Some people, God forbid, go into a hospital and have life-threatening situations. Other people work a job for 20, 25, 30 years. They're still young. They get laid off. They can't get a job. The computer doesn't respond when they put a fax through it for a resume. It's like it's a whole new world out there. So, like, they're trained to put bread on the table, and no matter what, they got to do it. They got to do it. So these poor people now are stressing out, having strokes, having a heart attack, getting a divorce, and they're only 45, 55 years old. And it's been drilled into them what's going on. So it's like a panic of unbelievable stuff. And like you said, it's like all the big department stores got together 300 years ago and said, look, let's just figure it out. Like, we could do this here and convince everybody to do this so they just keep spending their money at the store because that's what's most important. When most families go, well, we don't have nothing to cook. We'll just go out and get something at the restaurant. When they have a cupboard full of food, they're just full.
Yeah.
You know, so it cracks me up. And, you know, and I do this show so business people and individuals can promote themselves, market themselves, okay, without expense. And one of the things that I like about having people like yourself on the show, or the lady before us, I mean, she was raised in a really strange environment. She pulled herself up out of it and made good. And I think that business owners, family members, husbands and wives and all these different people in the world all have to do the same thing. They have to be honest with themselves, okay, and believe in themselves and do something for other people, help other people succeed. And, like, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it, but your life just comes together.
It does.
I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I always say, like, well, I wish God would just drop me an email to explain to me how that works. But I don't know how it works. I just know that if you do something good for somebody else, usually it comes back and pays you back in a nice way. So with all the hate going on in the world, I don't understand why people don't try it out.
Right. The hate gets hate, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing about it, to me, why you get what you give is because we're all one, you know? So it's like what you do to me, you do to yourself, you know? And it's something that just multiplies in and of itself, you know? So if I do good works and I'm giving love, I'm going to get that right back. And so the act of unselfish love is selfish too, because it's both things, you know? It works for both people. It's like it's a win-win, you know?
Yeah, and there's nothing easy about it, because you made a very good point. Society just teaches you certain things. I mean, you never hear the guy come on the radio or on the television when you're watching what the weather's going to be like in Atlanta tomorrow. He never says, 80% chance of sunshine. No, he goes, 20% chance of rain. You know, so they never give you the upside. They're always giving you what sells.
Mm-hmm.
And like your brain, because I'm sure all the reading and stuff and all the stuff that you do, you know that your brain repeats stuff so many times. So if it's a negative thought, I mean, you're just going down that road.
Yeah.
If it's a positive thought, you're going down that road with your seatbelt on, hoping that you don't take the wrong turn. So it's a struggle no matter what, but boy, what a better struggle to be on. Anyway, Nadia, I have to take a short commercial break. We're going to come back. I want to find out. I have a bunch of questions for you, and I'm really enjoying our conversation, but I need to get some more information out about you. Before we go on break, I want to make sure that everybody goes to newdaylifecoaching.com, and that's your website, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, and they can check it out. We'll come back. We're going to talk more about it. So we'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, this is Tony Gambone from South Talk Radio, and I would like to invite you to my new church home, Parkway Fellowship Church. The park is a purpose-driven church led by Pastor Mike McGowan. If you're new to church like me, you will love this place and the people there. Everyone at the park makes you feel great. The music is awesome, the message is important, but most of all, I leave every Sunday feeling like there's no other place for me to be. There are two services, 9:15, 10:45. Bring the kids. There's great age-appropriate programming for children and teenagers, newborns through 12th grade. You can be a part of small groups as well, so I invite you to try out the church at the park soon. To find out more, go to www.parkwayfellowship.com or visit this Sunday. I look forward to seeing you there.
Do you desire to increase productivity and income? Do you want to achieve your personal and professional goals? If so, then book Tony Harris at your next event to motivate and inspire your membership and employees to greatness one step at a time. Tony Harris is a dynamic, energetic, and passionate speaker that empowers and inspires her audiences to step outside of their comfort zone to make changes until they achieve success. To find out more about Tony or to book her for your next event, go to www.tonyharrisspeaks.com.
Okay, welcome back to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone, and we are on the phone here with Nadia Day, and we were having a really pleasant conversation about how just society just gets you stuck in a situation, and you know how important it is to try to stay on the positive side, and what value there is in helping other people. And Nadia is a spiritual life coach, and I want to find out. She's also a is it proper to say a licensed lawyer?
Yes, yeah, that'd be fine.
Is that the right thing? Like, what type of law do you practice?
I do real estate right now.
Okay.
Closing.
Okay. All right. So now let me ask you this here, because you have a degree, you're a lawyer, you got a good paying job and all that there, and you decide to do this. You know, we talked about how you made this connection with yourself and you decide to help other people become, well, more of who they could be instead of being disconnected from their limited beliefs and fears and insecurities. Now, do you do this part-time?
Yes, but okay, so, part-time transition into full-time.
Right, so let's go down that road. Because I'll tell you why, Nadia, I like to try to find out how people are transitioning so that if they're, you know, I come across at least six guests a week plus other shows. So I like to try to partner up people, refer people, connect people in different things. And I'm always finding opportunities like that. So if I understand your process, I might be able to throw people your way or connect you to people that might help you in your journey. So what is it? Like where you are now and where are you going to, and how is that going to take place, and how can people help you do that?
Well, at this point, I am trying to build up clientele, get my name out there. So I do, as part of the coaching, I do talks and seminars and workshops. So if someone needs a speaker, that would be great. To connect with someone who might need someone to speak to one of their groups or something like that. That would be helpful for me.
Okay. So let me see if I can put it in Tony terms, I guess you could say, because you know, if I understand it, everybody else is going to understand it. You speak to certain groups, all groups. What is your target group that you like to speak to?
Women. I like to talk to women.
Me too.
It could be.
Go ahead.
But I'm not limiting it to that. So
no,
the things that I like to speak on are things of the spirit and of love. So it would be groups that would want to have that kind of message, an inspirational kind of message.
Okay. Now, do you you do workshops?
I do workshops.
Okay. So you just so I kind of follow along here, you'd like to go and speak to get people to join your workshop? Would that be the kind of the?
I do Well, the workshop is for the information, and I suppose it's marketing as well for the one-on-one coaching. So I consider that like a group coaching session. So I would do group coaching as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, things of that nature. So really it's about right now just getting out there and letting people know what I do.
Do you have someone that books speaking engaged for you around the country? So if I want to speak in Houston, is there someone I would contact or hopefully you?
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's my connection just suddenly went.
Can you hear now?
It's a little broken up. I'm sorry. Can you?
All right. Let me try it again. Can you hear me better?
Yes.
Okay. Let me see if I can rephrase the same question. When someone wants to book you to speak, do you only speak in the Atlanta area? Do you have a booking agent that speaks that books your speaking engagements, or are you just still in the process of getting through that?
Still in the process.
Okay, so if someone wanted to get a hold of you to speak or find out more information, they can contact you on your website.
Yes.
What other information? How else could they contact you?
So my website has my phone number on there. It has my email address.
Okay, so it's pretty much if you go to your website, newdaylifecoaching.com, they'll be able to find out all the information and get a hold of you. I'm looking at your website. It has your fees, consultations, packages. It has information about you. It has all kinds of stuff and a contact page as well. And, of course, on the show here, what we do is there's a previous guest page on Tough Talk with TonyGambone.com, and you'll be able to go there and click on whoever's name, and we prefer you click on Nadia's name next week and find out more information about her, but I'll take you right to her website as well. What I'd like to do, Nadia, is find out do you have anything coming up in the future, like in the near future, where people can come out near you or see you?
I don't, but I will be updating my page with that information.
Okay. And what about, now I know that you came on my show today, and I'm really thankful for that because you are a pleasure to talk to. But I know that you're out promoting yourself. Okay, and so are there any other shows that you're scheduled to be on that we might be able to tune in and hear you on?
I don't have anything to note at this moment.
Okay, how about if would you be interested in me sending you some information on other shows that you might be able to promote yourself on as well?
Yes, I would love that.
Okay, good. Now I knew I'd find something that I could give you. Okay, so now, you know, I can't promise anything right away, but I do have other people that do radio shows under me, and we handle their shows, and they're always looking for guests, and I'm always looking to provide them with people that are, well, have found a new path. I just think it's really cool that you have a degree in law, but yet you choose to go out and do things that are going to help people in even more ways. And I'm not saying that you're going to throw your degree away or never make use of it or anything like that there, but it sounds like you would be a really happy person if you could go from state to state speaking to groups of people.
Yes.
I'd like to be a help in promoting that. So we'll make sure that we get you some information. We'll stay in touch off the air. How about a book? Are you going to write a book?
Yes, I'm in the process of writing a book now.
All right. Tell us about that.
Okay. Basically, it's about love. The tentative title is God is the Question, God is the Answer, Navigating the Ultimate Paradox of Life with the Spirit of Love. So my premise is really that God is everything. That would be the question, who is God, as well as the different answers that people come up with it. God is the good, God is the bad, God is everybody's experience. And so when people have different views of what God is, I'm saying that everybody is right, even though they're different, because that's life. It can be everything at the same time. And so regardless of that, it's choosing to live with love and choosing to connect with others who may have a different approach to the God of their understanding.
I like that. That sounds good. How long have you been working on it?
I really just started this year on that, as far as that particular thesis. I suppose I had a lot of different ideas running through my head, you know, whether I was going to do a memoir or essays. But this kind of came together as where I want to start with the book. So.
Now, let me ask you, Nadia, a lot of people write a book so they can be claimed an expert, especially when they're trying to get out and speak in the different cities across the country. Other people write the book just because they want to share their message. I'm going to assume that you're doing both.
Yeah, both.
Okay. Because so, it will put out your message. It will give you credibility in what you do. And you were an English major in school?
Yes.
Yeah, so writing must come natural to you. Yeah.
Yeah, I've always, and that was like my first career choice, was to be a writer. But again, I was listening to other people. Save that money. Yeah.
Well, hey, you know, and everything kind of happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And maybe
you
just weren't ready yet to be the person you are now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, maybe you'll be able to offer a whole bunch more now because you are who you are. So, awesome stuff, Nadia. I really appreciate your time today on the show. Unfortunately, we run out of time quickly. But I really, really enjoyed our time. I'd like to make sure you come back on the show, especially to get that book done. Give us an update. You know, you could always call into the show and say, hey, breaking news, I'm speaking here if anybody's interested in coming to hear me, okay? Because I have... We kind of work it the same way. We have free will here. As long as you can dial the phone, we'll take you on and let you give your message because it's what it's all about. And, you know, sometimes, you might run across one of my guests that's a connection that you need to make, and I love making those connections. So I hope to have you back on the show soon.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoy speaking with you.
My pleasure. And before we go, give everybody your information one more time how they can find you.
All right. You can look for me at www.newdaylifecoaching.com.
All right. And what if they need some real estate law? Can you help them out with that as well?
No. I'm really transitioning out of the law. So.
Oh, all right. Well, good for you. Most people take advantage of advertising. That says a lot. So I like that. Very good. Okay. You have a great day. Great
all right,
weekend. Thanks. And we'll talk to you soon, Nadia.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, folks. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and wrap up the show.
If you're working too hard for not enough profit, you need to run to your phone and call Roger Bonino from Abacoach. Roger works with business owners to increase profits by at least 68% per year and will help build a team to run the business for you so you can have time for yourself. Give him a call today at 281-937-7196 or go to www.abacoach.com/rbonino for a free coaching session and business analysis. Let Roger Bonino be your business advisor, making your success a reality.
This has been another edition of Tough Talk with Tony Gambone, live from the Virtual Tone Studios. Special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a guest, go to www.toughtalkwithtonygambone.com.